Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. It surely will come. When God gives a vision, that vision will come to pass. Amen? I believe that God has a vision for this ministry. You have a bulletin, or you can see the vision written over here. One more time, we'll read it together. The vision of Grace Christian Fellowship. We believe God has birthed this ministry to cause effective, positive change in the community of Winchester and the surrounding area. We have the vision to see as many people saved and healed by God's grace, filled with and empowered by the Holy Spirit, and entered into the work of the ministry wherever God desires them to be. Who grabbed one of those cards off the back table last week? Some of you didn't grab a card off the back table. Do I have one here? I don't have one here. I'm going to grab one real quick. These cards, I challenge you to grab one, sign it, put it in your wallet, put it in your pocketbook, and pull it out from time to time to remind yourself that you signed this. Lord Jesus, anything, anytime, anywhere, I am ready. And it's a place for you to sign it. And stuff will happen in your life if you do that. Because God takes you at your word. You sign it, you're giving Him your word. You're saying, Lord Jesus, maybe I should have put there Lord Jesus by faith. Anything, anytime, anywhere, I am, by faith, ready. Send me. What did the prophet Isaiah say? Here am I. Send me. The vision, Habakkuk says, or God said to Habakkuk, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. It's there for a reason. It's there for those who call themselves members of this ministry, that vision is the vision that God has given for this ministry to reach this area. This area spokes out. We cover, Grace Christian Fellowship covers a large area, really, from West Swansea, parts of Keene to Brattleboro to Hinsdale to Orange to Warwick to Northfield to, we've touched Greenfield. It spokes out from here. But this is the hub. This is the vision. Along with the vision, God has given us a purpose. One more time, let's read this together. Statement of purpose for this ministry. The purpose of our existence is to lift up the name of Jesus Christ and to provide a safe place for those who have been wounded by the world so that they can be saved, healed, set free, and matured in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's vision and purpose were given to us before the very first Sunday, very first meeting of Grace Christian Fellowship, and it has not changed. I believe that this is what God has called us to. I believe, I've said it for the last few weeks, that God has called other ministries in this area to fulfill these visions and purpose, and they did not, and God moved on. And He raised us up. And we're no different than anybody else. If we do not fulfill the vision and the purpose, then God will pull His lampstand from this place and He'll find somebody else and He'll raise somebody else up. I don't want Him to pull His lampstand from this place. I want this to be like the Grace Christian Fellowship to be like a candlestick holder. Not the candlestick. Jesus is the candle. Amen? Jesus is the light. We're just a candle holder. But we need to be willing to allow the light of Christ to shine forth out of this place. Not come in here on Sunday morning and go, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus, and jump up and down and have a wonderful worship service and then go out of here like nothing has changed. Were you touched by Jesus this morning? You know, when Jesus touches you, He brings a change. He loves you just exactly the way you are. But He loves you so much He doesn't want to leave you that way. I believe in all of my heart the power of the Holy Spirit. But I am also, the older I get, the more I'm understanding the power of man. You realize that you as a person have power. You have the power. Listen to me. You have the power to stop the move of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's power. You do. You have that power. You can stop God from moving in your life. And God will take His hands off and tell you, if what you want is what you want and that's all you want, you can have just that. What a sorry life. Aren't you glad that Jesus has come into your life? Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit has come and dwelt within you? If you received Jesus Christ as Lord, then that means the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead now dwells within you. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Now that should give you some Holy Ghost goosebumps. But we're not into it for just the emotional thing. We're into it to be changed and to be molded to be more like Him. The vision and purpose that God has given this ministry is not a generic version, but specific for this ministry and for each and every person, I believe for each and every person who calls this church their home church. Look with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 2. This is really our text for today. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 says, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Now this is Paul is speaking to the Ephesian church. And he is telling them that you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you're fellow citizens with the saints. With the saints of God. And you're members of the household of God. Are you a member of the household of God? Yes. If you've received Christ, you're a member. People ask, they've asked, some of you have asked, well, when you first came to Grace, well, I really like this church, and I really believe this is where God would have me be. How do I join the church? Well, this is how you join Grace Christian Fellowship. It's really simple. I have asked you, I said, have you received Jesus Christ as Lord? Yes, I have. Okay. That means you're a member of the body of Christ. Do you believe God's called you to this ministry? That this would be your home church? Yes, I do. And you submit to the leadership here as your overseers? Yes, I do. Then you're a member. Because that's all that's contained in the scriptures that we can see. So our formal membership is this, your obedience. Because you can sign on a dotted line and not be obedient to God, and that signing on a dotted line isn't going to make any difference in your life. Obedience to the will of God is what makes a difference in your life. Amen? So that's what we have is membership. Lord, anything, anytime, anywhere, I'm ready. You call me to Grace Christian Fellowship, that's where I will be. You call me someplace else, that's where I will be. That's fine with me. If you're not called to Grace Christian Fellowship, then don't be here. If you're here and you're not supposed to be here, then you're out of the will of God. Plain and simple, amen? And if you're out of the will of God, but you're here, then that makes you a stumbling block to this ministry and you're going to get in the way. God's got too much for us to do to have people that are in the way. He wants each of us to be where He has placed us. And if this is where He has placed you, then be here. If this is not where He's placed you, then don't be here. Pretty simple, isn't it? Oh my God, man, the way He talks to me, the way God talks to me and shows me things in the scriptures, I go, hallelujah, Lord, doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. And God says, that's good because you aren't one. I'm just a simple person. And I need God to speak to me in simple ways. Simplicity, I understand. Complicatedness, I don't. I like things simple. Amen? Amen. He must like... He made me. I'm simple. You don't have to amen that either. You almost did. I'm simple. I know I am. But I have a God that is mighty in power. I serve a risen King that's not rotting in the grave. I serve a Lord that loves me no matter what I do. You don't have to love me because He does. You see, so I'm getting off on all kinds of rabbit trails today. But that's okay because maybe somebody needs to hear this. We place so much value in other people liking us and not enough value on living a life that's pleasing to God. We want people to like us and to love us. And I mean, that's not wrong. I'm not saying that's wrong, but it's wrong when it gets in the wrong priority. When it causes us to do things and be other than what God's called us to be. And God has called me to be, number one, His son. And number two, to love you. He's called me to be that. To be a lover of the body of Christ, but number one, a lover of God. If I can accomplish just those two things, I can accomplish the will of God for my life. Hallelujah. But I need to keep my focus on Him. The vision and statement of purpose that God has given me for my life and given us for this ministry will come to pass if we, well, it's going to come to pass anyways, but we will be active participants of it if we can accomplish five things. Number one, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in bonds of peace. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in bonds of peace. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 3 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Hallelujah. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in bond of peace. God has called us to walk in the unity of the Spirit and in bonds of peace. Amen? But the unity, it's saying the unity of the Spirit. The unity of the Spirit of God. Not just for the sake of unity. But unity as God is called unity. And I can see being only being in unity with a ministry or with churches or with believers that are standing on the Spirit of God and standing according to the Word of God. There are so many, clergy fellowships and church ministry fellowships where they look to try and find some sort of common ground where they could stand in unity and work together. And I am finding more and more in the Scriptures that is not what God has called the church to be. Because there are many people, there are many churches out there that preach another Jesus. And Paul said, beware of that. We cannot have unity with that which is not of God. So that's number one. I was talking with a minister, and this person said, we've got to have unity. We have to find some sort of common ground. And my common ground on this is if you can't stand on the blood, if you can't stand for the work of the cross, and you can't stand for the fact that there is an eternal heaven and there's an eternal hell, and your decision on Jesus Christ determines your eternal residence. If we can't agree on the blood of Jesus, we have nothing we can stand on. Because I'm not going to fellowship with that which is not of God. I will do what I can to evangelize and to love and to reach out a hand of love, but I can't walk in unity with that which is not of God. Am I making myself clear? Are you understanding what I mean? I mean, because you can take that, to the extreme. Oh, gee, you know, that church over there, I'll rebuke it in the name of Jesus. No, you don't, because Jesus doesn't rebuke it. Jesus loves his people. They're going to hell just like the person that's in a bar. You know, oh gosh, we got to have a bar ministry.
A bar ministry?
Yeah, a bar ministry. Why not? Here we'll have a prison ministry. You know, Rick Browns. He's involved in prison ministry. I was involved in prison ministry, and we have no problem with doing that, because those are heathen and they're going to hell and they need Jesus. But you know, the church that doesn't preach Jesus is going to hell, and Jesus died for them just as much as he did this one in the A Block Cell 3. That was my address, by the way, in Woodstock. A Block Cell 3. I'm sure glad Jesus found me. And Jesus can find those that are in these bleached white sepulcher churches too. And he's going to use you and me to do it. Amen?
Amen.
So it's not unity, but it is reaching out. And it is loving them right where they're at. And show them Jesus, and teach them Jesus, and but still stand on the Word of God. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and bonds of peace. Unity does not require allowing unbiblical practices and doctrines to coexist with us. That's not what unity is. Unity is this. You love sitting on the front row, don't you? Here, put this down. This is unity. Would you stand up, please? Hey, come over here. Turn around, face the congregation. Now, there are obvious differences between this man and this man. Amen? He's got hair. He's got hair. He's much taller than me. If we were to stand on scales, he would weigh more than me, or I weigh lighter than him, because I'm smaller, I'm shorter. Police officers, man. There's obvious difference between him and me. But you know something? Ed is a Christian. Ed has received Jesus Christ as Lord. He's my brother. You mess with me, you mess with my big brother. There's obvious differences. And you know, Ed and I don't see the scriptures 100% exactly the same. We don't. We can have theological discussion. We can disagree with each other on certain points, but we stand on this one thing. Jesus Christ died for me. And he has given me life eternal because I've received him as Lord. Jesus Christ died for him. And he has life eternal because he has received Christ as Lord. So him and I can walk in the unity of the Spirit and bonds of peace. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Even in our differences. But the one thing that causes us to be able to be in unity is we have the same Father who looks at us through his Son. Jesus said, I no longer call you slaves, but I call you sons. Hallelujah. That's unity. And we can smile at our differences, and we can laugh about them, and we can walk together in friendship. That's unity. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So that's point number one, to see the vision and statement of purpose that we have for this ministry God has given us. Number one, we have to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in bonds of peace. Number two, we need to be willing to be involved with joy. We need to be willing to be involved in what God is doing with joy. Ephesians 2, what we just read, verse 19 through 22. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. I am built. Ed is built. You are built, hopefully, on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, say the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. You can't be fitted together and not be involved. I've spent my life as a builder of one sort or another. I love building the kingdom of God, but God had me as a builder, as a carpenter for many years. And you know, when I start a project, I order a bunch of 2x4s. So I've got a whole brick of 2x4s sitting in the yard. And I'm using these as I'm building. But you know, there's a whole bunch out there that's not a part of the project yet. And in the body of Christ, there are those who know where they can fit. They know where they can be used, and they choose to stay out in the yard in the pile. And that's a real shame. You know that pile? Though I have found as a carpenter, the longer that pile stays there, the more warped those 2x4s get. Think about it. Think about it. Anybody who's been in building trade, have you ever seen that? You leave them out, and they get in the sun, and they get rained on. Doesn't matter if you even cover them. After a while, if they're not nailed into place and used, they get warped. Beg your pardon? Well, we all going to turn gray. That's irrelevant. Even the scripture says gray hair found in the way of righteousness is a crown of glory. Hallelujah. We need to be willing to be involved with joy. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody has to be in a visual sense of involvement. I'll give you one example on that. I'm going to use John Wilson as an example. All right, can I use you as an example? Thank you, John. Now, John Wilson, a dear brother in the Lord, has his hands full because there's a lot of sickness and problems within the whole family, not just immediate, but all around. And John finds it very difficult, as well as Lynn, finds it difficult to be actively involved in that. You see them always being apart. But, you know, I know that this husband and this wife spend a lot of time on their knees in prayer. They travail in prayer for me and for Kathy and for you and for this ministry. They have a vital part in this ministry. They joyfully are plugged in. They are joyfully serving God and serving Grace Christian Fellowship, but in a way that people don't see. Tom Davenport, another one. If I can pick on you, Tom, thank you very much. Tom is also one. He's an elder here. Tom is not very visibly involved, but yet he carries a mantle of prayer. And this man will spend more time in prayer in an afternoon for this body and for the work of the Lord than some people will spend in an entire week in prayer. His idea of waking up is grabbing a cup of coffee and grabbing the church directory and praying for everybody that's in the church directory. And that's just to get warmed up to pray. And he does it joyfully. But there are others that have gifts and callings that are different than that, and they are not allowing themselves to be used by God. And they stand and they are part of that brick of 2x4s out in the yard getting warped because they're not being used. And that's a shame. It's a waste of God's resources. You know that the oh man, look what time it is already. You know the scripture where God talked about the talents, and the one who was given 5 talents, another was given 3 talents, one was given 1 talent, and the 5 went and he traded and he used those talents and he gave the master a return. And the one with only a couple of talents, and he went and he used them. He invested them. He put them at risk. He returned to the master, and the master blessed him. Then he had that one that had just 1 talent. Well, no, man, I'm not going to use that talent. I'm not going to use it. I'm not going to be involved. I'm going to bury that sucker. I'm going to put it down in the ground, and I'm not going to use it. And when the Lord shows up, I undug it. Undug it? All right, close enough. Undug it. You know what I mean. Hey, look, I got a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old. And I'll be corrected when I get home because Kathy's an English teacher. Undug it and presented it to the Lord. And the Lord, what did the Lord say? The Lord said, "You wicked servant." He didn't call him an ex-servant. He didn't say, "You're not saved." He didn't say, "You weren't born again." He still called him a servant, but he said, "You wicked servant. I gave you a talent to use for my kingdom, and you didn't use it. You buried it. You didn't even put it in a bank where it would get some interest. You didn't use it. You didn't put it at risk." And he took that away from him and gave it to the one who had much. You see, God's given us a lot. He's given us a lot in talents, He's given us a lot in abilities. And He has called us and He has commanded us according to His word to use that to bring an increase in His kingdom. Amen? And we need to do it joyfully. Hallelujah. It needs to be joyful, not begrudge it, but joyful. Number three, get rid of a critical spirit. Number one, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and bonds of peace. Number two, be willing to be involved with joy. You know, Psalm 100 verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Hallelujah. Number three, get rid of a critical spirit. In Luke chapter 6 verse 37, it says, judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Matthew chapter 7 says pretty much the same thing. Matthew 7 goes a little further and says that measure for which you judge, it will be judged back upon you. The same measure you use, it will be used on you. The same standard you will judge somebody else, it's going to be applied to you. Then he went on to say and talk about the log in your eye when you're trying to pick the speck out of your brother's eye. Deal with the log in your eye. You know, one of the things that I have found with critical people is they can tell you all about what your sin is, and they can tell you all about your struggle, and they can see so clearly how wrong you can be, and you'll never hear them tell you their struggle. You'll never hear them tell you how they've just bit the dust this week. They'll never share with you and never ask you for prayer because they have a bondage in their life and they need help. But you'll hear about everybody else. And that's a shame. I love that scripture where Jesus talked about that one person, that Pharisee was standing and saying, I'm glad I'm not like him. I give of my tithe and I do this and I do that. And oh, I'm so glad I'm not like him. And him is over on the corner crying out, beating his chest and not even daring to look up, saying, oh, God, help me. I'm just a sinner. And Jesus made the statement. He said, because he was teaching, he said, which one went away justified? And the answer to that was the one that was humble before the Lord and was willing to leave others in the hands of God. Because God can change a person a whole lot faster than you can. Amen? Anybody ever try to change? How about you husbands and wives? You ever try and change your mate? Kathy's over there, so she's tried to change me. Guess what? Kathy can't change me. She can't. Every time Kathy tries to change me, you know what happens to me? You know what I do? Oh, man, I have these fleshly shoes. That got, you know, my daughter, Lauren, I mean, you bring her to Salvation Army, and she sees these shoes that got these heels this long, you know, and makes this 4.5 foot tall girl about 5'3", you know, and just like walking around on stilts, you know, and she loves those kind of heels. Well, I got those kind of heels too, especially when somebody tries to change me. If Kathy tries to change, I could dig those things in. Oh, man, I could dig them in. And I do it automatically. I mean, I don't even have to think about it. Hello? Anybody else have shoes like I got? And Kathy says, you really shouldn't. You say this is masturbation. Oh, and I go, Miss Martin, I just shut up. Hey, I'm confessing to you. All right? This is true confessions this morning. I have those heels. But you know something? God has a way of coming to me. And you know, he look, we all struggle with critical spirits, don't we? Please say yes. Yeah, we do. We all do. To one degree or another, we all do. And God speaks to me about me more often when I'm starting to get critical about you, or one of you, or about my wife, or about my kids. You know, God, you know that Arthur Rizzi. You sit on the front row. And he gets me. And God says, Matthew, you get me, so me, because of what you do. And I immediately want to go, oh, God, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about Art Rizzi. And God says, you leave him to me. And you leave you to me. Now, I've got something I want to deal with you on. And I find more times God speaking to me that way when I'm in the flesh and complaining to him about somebody else. Moral of the story, stop complaining about other people. And say, God, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to complain to you about me. No, don't you say about me, but about yourself. God, I have this thing in my life that I am just can't seem to break the bond. I need you, God, to break the bonds. I'll leave my brother and my sister in your hands. Lord, I need freedom. I need liberty. I need to be set free. I need deliverance. I need you. And you know something? When we get really serious about with God, about ourselves, God has this uncanny way of showing up and dealing with you. And setting you free. And making you his son. And allowing his light to shine through you in brighter ways. When you go at other people, you shut the light down in your own life. And God doesn't want that light shining down. He wants it shining up. He wants it to be pumped up. He wants it to shine forth brightly. And it can only shine forth brightly when we aren't operating in a condemning, critical spirit. Now, I'm not saying that you don't see what's wrong. What I am saying is when you condemn the person because of the sin, because of the struggle. Because God is very clear in His Word that when we see a brother or sister that's in sin, we go to them and we try to help them. But you don't help them by going, bam, 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 what's the matter with you? Smarten up. What are you, stupid?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sitting on the front row. No. You got a problem. If I can see the problem, if God has revealed it to me, then I go to you and I sit down and I love you and I say, can I pray with you? Can I help you? This is what the Word of God says. You're really struggling. Well, you really like it? You want to stay in it? Well, I'm just going to continue to pray with you. Pray, and I'm going to pray for you that God will convict you of that. And then leave them alone and love them. Just leave them alone and love them. Hallelujah. Things work that way. Critical spirit condemns the person and starts calling them names rather than just seeing the sin and dealing with it according to the Word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Get rid of the critical spirit. I'm going to do the last two because then it finishes this whole thing up. Can you bear with me for 10 more minutes? Okay, 10 more minutes. I guarantee 10 more minutes. I'll do my best for 10 more minutes, okay? Number four, be a kingdom builder. Number one, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Number two, be involved with joy. Number three, get rid of the critical spirit. Number four, be a kingdom builder. Be a kingdom builder. Don't build this church. Don't build Grace Christian Fellowship. The only part you see in that or that that has to deal with Grace Christian Fellowship is simply the title. Grace Christian Fellowship is us. We're not building us. We're building the kingdom of God. You get somebody saved, hallelujah. That doesn't mean they have to come to Grace Christian Fellowship. I don't care where they go as long as they go. As long as they get plugged into a fellowship where they're supposed to be. And where they can bloom where they're planted. And that they can become a kingdom builder as well. What does that say? It says, we believe God has birthed this ministry to cause effect, a positive change in the community of Winchester and the surrounding area. We have the vision to see as many people saved, healed by God's grace, filled with and empowered by the Holy Spirit, and entered into the work of the ministry wherever God desires them to be. Don't build this church. Let God build it. He can build it a whole lot better than I can or you can. We just got to be kingdom builders. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Paul said to the Roman church, Romans chapter 1, 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God, hallelujah, for all to get saved, the Jew and the Gentile, everybody, just get saved. Build the kingdom. Be about the Father's business. Jesus didn't build the Jerusalem temple. He was here to build the kingdom. And we need to build the kingdom as well. 1 Corinthians, look with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I love this verse. Verse 18, it says, for the message of the cross, not the message of Grace Christian Fellowship, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Hallelujah. It is the message of the cross that we are to bring to those that are saving, because Grace Christian Fellowship, nor Matthew Worrell, or whoever you are, cannot save anybody. I mean, let's get real. You can't save yourself. If you could, there was no reason for Jesus to come. We're to be ambassadors for Christ, not ambassadors for Grace Christian Fellowship. We are to be kingdom builders, not church builders. God did planted this church so He could build it. He planted it as a hub so that we can be building the kingdom. Hallelujah. So let's build the kingdom. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, great things happen to people who are willing to build the kingdom. But you need to build where God has placed you. Do you realize that? You need to build where God has placed you. You look in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. I love it. It says that the work was getting done. Why? Because the people had a mind to work. But if you look in the chapter beforehand, chapter 3, there's several places in that chapter, and just for the sake of time, I'm not going to go there right now, but several places in that chapter, it mentioned different families, and they built the wall in front of their house. They built the wall in front of their house. They built the wall where they were planted. They didn't have a family that was doing a wall here, running over and helping to build some of the wall over here, and running over here and trying to help build some of the wall over here, running over here and trying to build some of the wall over here, and then the place where God had stationed them is going without. Because they're running all over the place. They're being involved in all kinds of different things, and they're spreading themselves so thin they amount to nothing anywhere. And they go, wow, look at me. I am so involved in ministry. I am so involved in what God is doing. And I'm going here, and I'm going there, and I'm going over here, and I'm going over there, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. And my family hasn't got a clue what's going on with me. And I haven't got a clue what's going on with my family. And my house is in dire need. And my spirit is in dire need because I am so busy doing all of these things, I don't have time to be still and know that He is God. Nehemiah, they had a mind to work, but they worked where they were. And if I will take care of what God has given me in this ministry, and you take care of what God has given you in this ministry, and you take care of what God has given you in this ministry, if God has placed you in this ministry, guess what? The kingdom gets built. But when we go hither, thither, yonder, there, and just it spreads so thin, we end up doing nothing. And amounting to nothing. But we feel really good about ourselves because we're involved in so much and we feel so spiritual. That's not spiritual. That's wearing yourself ragged. I believe very firmly that a person gets close to burnout because they're doing more than what God has called them to do. I am called of God. I mean, I get times when I get ragged and get frustrated. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. Some of you see me in those situations. I don't hide it. Hey, what you see is what you get. Okay, well, but you know, I don't get burned out. because I make sure that I spend quality time with the Lord. I don't get so busy that I don't spend time with God. And that's not sitting down and reading, make sure that I stay on the schedule. So I've read through my Bible twice a year or once a year. And then all of a sudden, now it's all done. Now I got Lord, I've got 3.4 minutes now that I can get down on my knees and pray and hallelujah and thank you, Jesus. And oh, you're just so good. And oh, I really love you. And thank you for Grace Christian Fellowship. And thank you for my friends. And thank you for, in Jesus' name, amen. And now I got to get on to work because I've got schedules to take care of. And I got people down in the hospital I got to go see. I got this, I got that, and I got this and that. And God goes, whoa, back up. Get back in that position you were for 3.4 minutes. And when you get back onto that position, shut your mouth and listen to me. Because I've got something I need to say. We miss God because we get so busy. We don't take time to listen. Bloom where you planted. That's part of being involved with joy, is to be a kingdom builder, but build where you're planted. Never mind the wall over here. God's got somebody there to build. Never mind the wall over here. God's got somebody to build. Build where you are. And you know something? You read the book of Nehemiah. Guess what? The wall got built. All of it. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you hearing what God's saying? Last one. Be quick to rejoice over any and every victory. Be quick to rejoice over any and every victory. These are 5 points to bring this vision and purpose to pass that I believe God has for each and every one of us. Number one, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in bonds of peace. Number two, be willing to be involved with joy. Number three, get rid of a critical spirit. Number four, be a kingdom builder. Number five, be quick to rejoice over any and every victory. You ever experience a small victory in Christ? Guess what? That's a lie out of the pit of hell. There is no such thing as a small victory. If Jesus gave you victory, it's victory. Whether it's a big thing or a little thing, if God's moved in your life, go hallelujah. You should be able to go hallelujah because I quit chewing my fingernails just as well as I going hallelujah. I have stopped messing around with other women. You hear what I'm saying? A bondage is a bondage. In the eyes of God, a bondage is a bondage. Sin is sin. You find victory over sin. God is joyful. Hallelujah. So should you. Be quick. Be ready to rejoice over any and every victory that God gives you in your life. Now, thanks be to God. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now. Say now. Today. Now. Thanks be unto God who always causes you to triumph in Christ Jesus, always causes you to triumph. Hallelujah. If you're not triumphing, it's because you're choosing not to. Because God has given you the victory. Amen? Doesn't the Bible say that He has broke the chains of death? I mean, you know, He did it. He broke the chains of death before He even died. Look at what He did in Lazarus. I was reading that while we were worshiping the Lord earlier. And it comes to mind as we worship the Lord now. You know, worship's not song, just songs. Worship is His Word. Worship is coming close to Him. Worship is enjoying His presence. Worship is getting to know Him through His Word. Worship is to be our life. Not just something we do, but it's who we are, worshipers. And God was showing me in there. In fact, I'll close with that scripture. I promise. Turn with me to John chapter 11. Oh, I want you to see this as we close. In John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 39. Verse 38. Then Jesus again, groaning in Himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of Him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. There's a stench in there. He's been dead 4 days. But Jesus said to her, listen to these words. Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? If you would believe, you'll see the glory of God. If you would believe, you'll get victory. But God, you don't know the stench of my life. I know the stench of your life, God says. I'm in the resurrection business. You see, he says here, don't take the stone away. Martha says, don't take the stone away. You take the stone away and there's going to be a stench. And God says, that's where my glory shines best. Move the stone. Let the stench come out. Didn't I tell you, if you just believe, you see the glory of God? He didn't say, if you just believe, there'll be no stench. He said, if you just believe, you'll see the glory. The glory is getting rid of the stench. He gets rid of the stench by bringing life in that which is dead. You got stench in your life? Roll the stone away. Please, roll the stone away. God, by His power, wants to come into your life and get rid of the stench. Stop hiding it. Stop hiding it. Hallelujah. He wants the stench out of the cave. He wants it out of the tomb so He can breathe life into you. And that life is more abundant. He said, if you would just believe, you'll see the glory of God. But He can't see the glory of God if you don't let the stench out. It's in there. Isn't that what happened? If they refused to roll the stone, then the religious leaders wouldn't have had to try to figure out how to kill him. That's funny, because later on they tried to kill Lazarus. How dare he be raised from the dead? You was dead once, you're supposed to stay dead, and we're going to make sure you're dead again. They tried to kill him again. I'm thinking to myself, I read that scripture, and boy, that's stupid. Jesus is just going to show up and resurrect him again. Really? I'll waste my time and go kill somebody else. No. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what the Spirit of God is saying this morning? The glory of God is shined and seen and expressed and empowered the greatest when we're willing to reveal the stench to Him. And with a breath, He blows it away. And with a breath, He breathes life. And He sets you free. Rejoice in even what you would call a small victory. Because a victory in the eyes of God is a victory. Let's stand. Oh, man.